We've been through a lot and it's been really hard, but we have hope that we can still heal and continue through life experiencing joy and hope that we're going to be with Indy again.
Welcome, you wonderful, purposeful, and beautiful humans to Hope Still Wins. I'm your host, Ben Higgins. Hope Still Wins is a place where we get to know thought leaders from diverse backgrounds and differing worldviews to help us feel less alone, more connected, and move us to become a better world together, ultimately answering the question, does hope still win? If so, why? And if not, why not? As you know, if you're a regular around here, we spent this first part of this year in a series where I had the honor of interviewing incredible guests to see how hope has played a role in their story when life hit them with something unexpected. Loss of a loved one, being given a terminal diagnosis, bankruptcy, and losing someone close to suicide. Well, if you haven't tuned in, I highly suggest going back and listening to episodes 29 through 34, because right now, we've taken a slight pivot, and we're in the middle of a series about how we can find hope and healing. In today's episode, I have the absolute honor of sitting down with Tara Bell and Brian Bell. Tara and Brian recently lost their beautiful daughter, Indy Lou, to a form of leukemia, and they have been generous enough to share their story of hope and healing with us today. This interview is one that is incredibly personal to them, and I believe it will be to you as well. There's incredible wisdom shared, but also a story that hurts, a story that infiltrates our everyday lives, a story that is sacred, a story also that you'll learn at some levels that is beautiful because of the world and the impact that Indy Lou had on so many. Well, let's just get into this conversation. It's a special one. It's a meaningful one. On this episode of Hope Still Wins, here's my conversation with Tara and Brian Bell. Well, Brian and Tara, thank you so much for joining Hope Still Wins.
Yeah, thank you for having us. We're honored that you would want to hear from us.
You know, I told you just a few seconds ago that we heard about you, Jenny and myself, through a friend of ours, Maddie, who had followed your journey with you and was, you know, very connected to you all from a distance via social media. And so your story, I think, inspired her, also humbled her, also brought out emotions within her. She really, really cares and cared for the two of you and the four of you. And so for those who aren't familiar with your story, do you mind starting out just talking about who you are as a family, who you are as a couple, and then obviously talking about Indy and Birdie and what they mean to your lives?
Yeah. You want to go first?
Well, we've been together for what, 14 years? 14 yeah. years-ish. Born and raised in Salt Lake City. Tara's a nurse practitioner in the health field, and I own a couple of small businesses. But we grew up, we got married, spent a lot of time together for the first few years, just traveling, growing together as a marriage. We didn't have kids for the first, I don't know, 6-7 years for marriage. When we decided finally to start having children, we fought a little bit of infertility for how many years?
5 years.
5 years.
Yeah.
So we had a little infertility. I guess God wasn't ready for us to start our family. Who knows, you know, but we had infertility for 5 years, and then we were blessed to get pregnant with Indy. And that was in what, 2016?
Yeah.
Indy was born in 2016.
Yeah, Indy was born in 2016. We did in vitro fertilization to get her. And when she was born, you know, we're elated. We're like so excited to be parents. We've waited 5 years. And I feel like waiting was actually a good part of our journey because it made us just so, so excited to be parents. But when Indy was born, there was a surprise diagnosis of Down syndrome. And that really kind of rocked our world. There was no suspicion for that. We were totally shocked, but it ended up being the most incredible thing that could have ever happened to us. And she, for anybody who does know her, she just is the most incredible being. Like she, her spirit is incredible. And she just, she changed our life from the second she entered it, as all children do.
But it just definitely wasn't how we expected, right? We expected to have a child and go back to some sort of regular life where we could just now involve this child as part of who we are, as part of who is a family. But when Down syndrome came along, it was like, okay, it's that same thing, but it looks different. We just weren't expecting that. Mm-hmm. I think any couple with any sort of diagnosis, not just Down syndrome, but any type of diagnosis similar to that, kind of understands what it means to have one thing expected in your mind and have that, like, your mind wrapped around what your life is going to be next and anticipate that. And then it can be something completely different. And so you have to, like, rewrap your mind around it, or refocus yourself, or rehumble yourself, or just revision what life is going to look like going forward. And so that's what happened when Indy was born. You know, for the first minute, it was a little bit hard wrapping her head around and saying, okay, what about this? Here's our concerns. Here's our experiences with kids with Down syndrome. What are we really in for? You know, and that lasted the first few days and weeks. After that, Tara and I finally came together and said, you know what, this is Down syndrome and there's beauty in this. We've seen heard some people's stories. Some people have reached out to us, helped us see what it really can be. And Tara and I kind of had this rebirth moment where it says, we're going to make something out of this Down syndrome. We're going to show the world how awesome this Down syndrome can be. You know, we set our goals high. We started living life. I mean, we were going camping at 6 weeks old. She's still on oxygen. You know,
we just continued our life the way we were living before. Like we traveled all the time. You know, that was a big part of our life, and Indy just became a part of that. And we took her to see the world, and we took, you know, the world got to see her, and that was really special for us. And she just was the sweetest, most relaxed and chill little babe. So it was fun. And the first year and a half of our life with her was just bliss. And then we noticed that she started to get sick. And me, with my nursing background and pediatric nursing background, I was really worried about the signs we were seeing. But
as the husband, I am like, no. Like, this is not what you think it is. I know you just got this nurse mind going on, thinking it's one thing. It's fine. Just a little cold.
But I was worried about leukemia, and that's what ended up happening. Indy was diagnosed with a form of leukemia called myelodysplastic syndrome when she was 18 months old. And we could spend the whole conversation sharing our story, so we'll just briefly go through it. But we spent, like, the first 8 months of cancer, we were mostly in the hospital. We called it our fourth floor suite, because we would move in for a month at a time, and then we would get a break at home for 2 weeks, and then we would move back into the hospital room for a month at a time. And we really lived there, and we decided, the same with Down syndrome, we decided with cancer, we're going to make the best of this. And of course, there were so many challenges, and that was much more difficult mentally and emotionally than it was just to embrace Down syndrome. Cancer was a whole new world, but we committed to make the best of it. And so as we were living in the hospital for months at a time, we had dance parties every day, and we became best friends with the nurses and the doctors. And, you know, it was like, we made it social time. It was fun. And we'll look back on those times with fondness forever. Because it was really special. It was tender. It was special. It was the hardest thing ever, but it was.
And that first round lasted 8 months. And she went into remission. And to be honest, we thought, okay, we're done with this, right? This is a little blip in our lives. We've got this under control. She's cancer free. Let's go back to living hard. So we went right back to traveling, right back to doing everything we wanted to do.
And that's when our second little girl came along, Birdie. And after the 5 years of infertility that we struggled with Indy, Birdie was a surprise. And we were actually trying to prevent. And
she, like, the was only just, time ever we were trying to prevent.
Yeah, she was a sweet surprise. And again, God's timing and their timing.
So Birdie was born in shortly 6 months after her remission. Mm-hmm. And then 3 months after Birdie was born, we started getting signs that Indy might be relapsed and their cancer might be coming back. And it was like another punch to the gut, you know, like, oh, we have to do this again. And you get concerned about the future, and you get concerned about living the whole life inside of the hospital, but now you have another child. It's like, how do you do that balance? How do you do, you know, mom's at home with the little one, dad's at the hospital switching, and it was complicated.
It was intense. And it was just more of a gut punch than even the first time, you know. It's just, you think that you've made it through the hardest experience of your life, and then you realize that you haven't. So
we went back into treatments, and the next step or the treatment at that point was what's called bone marrow transplant. And it's essentially resetting your bone production system. Leukemia is a bone cancer.
No, it's a blood cancer.
Sorry, blood cancer. Yeah. But the blood is formulated in the bone marrow, which is inside of your bones. So the blood comes from your bones. And so that they do a bone marrow transplant to hopefully kind of reset the factory, the blood factory inside your body, to give your clean blood going forward. It's a hard process. It was pretty brutal. It was the hardest that Indy had been hit up to this point. You know, she breathes through those first 8 months.
She was like the sunshine of the cancer unit. She, you know, she would just be strolling around in her bright purple walker, giggling and laughing, and all the nurses and doctors would be like, you'd never know that she's just had 4 days of chemo. Like, she just, she radiated, and she was so full of life, happy, and energy, and just happy through all of it. And that was a gift that she gave us, for sure.
So the second, when we went into bone marrow transplant, that hit her a little bit harder. It was very intense treatments. But even when she was going through the most intense treatment, she was still pleasant and she was still happy. You could give her smoothie and her blueberries and her show, and she was just happy as a butterfly.
Yeah.
Hey everybody, it's Ben here. I just wanted to tell you about Generous. Generous Coffee Company is a company my buddies and I started a few years ago with one simple purpose: to provide the highest quality coffee. So when you hear people talking about, oh my gosh, that's the best coffee I've ever had, well, Generous would fall into that category, specialty grade coffee. And then 100% of the profits are donated to nonprofits. We also have apparel and coffee mugs. But our coffee is really what drives us. So today, go visit us on Instagram at generous_coffee, or please, please go visit our website, generouscoffee.com. You can buy some coffee for yourself, for your business, for your school, for your church, for your family. It's a great gift, and we love to provide it to you. So please go out there today, buy some coffee. We look forward to having you as our guest and our client. It would be such a cool partnership, and I would love to hear what you think. So please review us online. Again, that's generouscoffee.com. 100% of the profits are donated to nonprofits.
We did that process, and that lasted about 3 or 4 more months of intense treatments.
Mm-hmm.
And they let us out in December. It was December.
Yeah, we got home right before Christmas, and she was doing well. She had gone through the transplant. Like, they were amazed at how well she did. And so we come home from the bone marrow transplant right before Christmas, and she's doing really well. And then suddenly cancer cells started to reappear on her blood work. And then the doctors were like, we've never seen anything like this. We have no idea what's going on. She did well through transplant. What is this? And so we were super worried about that. Another devastating gut punch. And then things got even worse. Yeah. So she developed this very rare complication of transplant, which happened for her a month after she had the transplant, but she went into a respiratory failure. And essentially, like, her lungs filled up with inflammation the way that people's lungs fill up with inflammation who have COVID. And so just to give you guys an idea of what that process was like, one day she was fine, and the next day she was on life support because her lungs just widespread inflammation and they shut down.
We watched it over the course of like 12 hours. They kept doing x-rays, and you could just see like her lungs just becoming inflamed, just closing up.
They just shut.
The craziest thing inside of like 12 hours.
Yeah. And so they put, you know, a ventilator wasn't enough for her. And so they put her on a machine called ECMO. And ECMO is a machine which bypasses your heart and lungs, or just one or the other. So for Indy, she was on this life-saving machine that bypassed her lungs entirely.
It's a crazy machine.
The blood goes out, gets oxygenated in the machine, and then goes back in your body, totally functioning as your lungs. And she, things are looking bad, because a lot of kids or people don't ever come off ECMO and survive it. And there are some who do, but So she was on ECMO for 7 days, and our like community worldwide just came together for Indy. And I think that's one of the parts that gets me the most, is thinking back and remembering like thousands of people across the world who came together in like prayer and faith and hope for Indy, that she would make it, that she would be able to come off ECMO and recover and survive and get through this. And after 7 days, she did come off of ECMO, and that was miraculous. And her doctors were again stunned at what she was doing, but she stayed on a ventilator for a total of a month. So we were in the ICU that long, but the whole time, our community just rallied around us, and it was incredible to watch. And I don't know if you've heard about the crossed fingers thing, but it was in the ICU where Indy used to always cross her fingers when she was nervous. Like when she was learning to walk, she'd walk like this with her fingers crossed. And we looked over one day, and it was a particularly hard day in the ICU. We looked over at Indy, and she had just her fingers crossed laying on her chest. And I shared it on my Instagram stories. And the next thing we know, like, I'm getting tagged in just hundreds and thousands of stories of people crossing their fingers for Indy, big groups of people, like gymnastics teams from colleges and, you know, school classrooms of all the kids, everyone just crossing their fingers for Indy. It was so beautiful and
across
incredible.
Across the world, every continent. I mean, thousands of people, hundreds of countries. It was amazing to see.
It was incredible, and still to this day, the crossed fingers are kind of like our symbol for Indy. Mm-hmm. But just seeing the community come together, that in itself was a miracle. But the biggest miracle is that Indy was able to come off of the ventilator, and her lungs recovered, and she did really well. But after that, it still gets harder. After that time, they did a bone marrow biopsy to see how the cancer cells were doing, to see how the transplant worked. And they came back and told us that the transplant had failed and that cancer was taking over her bone marrow, and that 50% of her bone marrow was filled with cancer cells, and that she had 6 weeks to live if we didn't do anything. Well, she is like barely alive. And so didn't feel right about doing any more medical treatments, you know, like chemotherapy. It just felt too harsh. But we weren't ready to let her go either. And we took her home, and it was the most miraculous, incredible 6 weeks of our lives that followed that, because she started getting sicker at first, but suddenly we had just some miraculous things happen where, you know, there was one day, it was actually February 22nd of 2020. So yesterday was a mark, but we had a big fast for Indy, and thousands of people across the world fasted and prayed for Indy on this day. And it was very powerful. And it was shortly after that, that things started getting better. Things turned the corner, and suddenly Indy started getting better.
And we had told the doctors, listen, like, let us be like, don't come and check on us. We don't want to see her status. Just let us go live our life and let us enjoy these last few weeks with our little girl.
If they are going to be the last few weeks, but we weren't so sure.
Well, the doctors called us back. What was it?
It was the day after Easter in 2020. And the best day of my life, because they said, we know that you guys don't want to hear her lab results and you just want to kind of do your thing, but we thought you would want to hear that there are no more cancer cells in her blood, and her labs all look great. All of her numbers are coming up, and she doesn't need any transfusions anymore. And just mind blowing, really.
The doctor's never seen anything like that. I mean, there was no chemotherapy. There was no treatment. In fact, medication that she was on, we took her off.
Yeah. And to give you a little more back history, so as a nurse practitioner, I've always practiced functional holistic medicine. And so this accompanied our journey the whole time. Like, you know, lots of juicing and supplements, and we did vitamin C and glutathione IV, and, you know, just really always supported her body nutritionally and always did things as much as we could naturally to fight the cancer in addition to the chemotherapy. So we had a dual approach, and it worked really well for Indy. So this whole time, those 6 weeks that we were at home, we were doing those things, you know, it was, I kind of went into overdrive and she was getting IV therapy daily and we just lots of juicing, lots of supplements. And she started to turn the corner. And I know that that was a big part of it. And I also feel like it was just this incredible miracle due to the faith of thousands.
Yeah. So, you know, that whole 6 weeks was really hard where there was a lot of uncertainty. But once we passed that 6 weeks and the cancer was gone, you know, we went back to living again. You know, Indy still had complications from her cancer treatments, like graft versus host disease and a couple of other things that kind of stiffened her joints and she had to learn to walk again. Yeah.
It was amazing. And I it was during one of the hardest years for everybody. It was 2020 that Indy was saved miraculously and it filled so many people up with hope. And so many people, we get messages all the time of like, I just want you to know that I never believed in God until I found your story. And Indy taught me how to pray and Indy taught me what real love is and what God's love is. And during this time, during COVID, when so many people were struggling, we would get messages all the time, like, I come to your stories every day to watch Indy because she's keeping me going right now. And even though that year continued to be hard for us and hard for Indy, because she had graft versus host disease, she was still just this light that people would come to watch every day. And she was such a joy and so happy. And she never let the challenge dim her light at all. And
she was a walking, talking miracle is what she was.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So let's pause there then, if you don't mind, because there's so much to unpack in those, in the moments leading up, you know, to this moment and where you sit today. I'm processing through a lot of this myself. In fact, before we sat down to talk today, I got on your social media and I watched a bunch of videos and I'm like 35 minutes into the celebration of life for Indy right now. I'm watching that on YouTube and
thank you.
You know, tell me if I'm wrong. I would be surprised if you disagree with me, but there's people out there that when you run into them, you just know there's something special. Like they've got that it factor. They've got that mojo, that thing that just separates them from many of us. And I was watching the video of Indy walking in her, strutting in her purple walker and a purple dress down a hallway. And it broke me. Because she was strutting. Like there's just that, you're like, it's very clear when you watch that. And if anybody out there wants to watch it, it's out there. You can go watch it after you listen to this, but you'll watch it and you'll be like, this person's special.
Yeah.
And so if we pause at this point in the story for you two, it's been a roller coaster ride. She's diagnosed with cancer. She's in remission. She gets cancer again. She's in remission. She gets cancer again. And you're sitting there as a family trying to hold it all together. How are you doing that?
I think that's where it's outside of ourselves, right? This is not something that we could have held together by ourselves. And that's where you find God and divinity and angelic forces that just hold you together, because honestly, we have no explanation.
So in a lot of ways, I think that we were carried. We're spiritual people, we're religious people. We believe in God. I think God had a big part to do with it. I also think that social media, that family, I mean, we had so many people rooting us on. It's hard to wake up and be sad when you wake up to 1,000 supportive messages every single morning. You know, so social media was a big part.
And sometimes that was like, I'd be sitting in the ICU next to Indy and I would just get on Instagram to read and Facebook to read comments and messages of how Indy has changed their life and how they're praying for her. And it lifted me up. It really, like, I could be in the lowest of lows and I would go read these messages and comments and it would fill me up with hope. Hope that either Indy was going to be okay, because all of these people needed her, or hope that even if Indy passes, that we'll be okay because we have this huge community and Indy had really changed thousands of people across the world. And so, you know, she has completed this incredible mission, and just knowing that no matter what happens, we're going to be okay, because we have to be, but also because Indy is this beacon of hope for people.
And like you mentioned a minute ago, that some people just have this sparkle with them, this light that they carry with them. And as easily as it was for so many other people to see that in Indy, we lived with it. Mm. It's part of us. You know what I'm saying? We woke up to that light. We felt that, and we could hold that light, and that light would give us kisses and give us snuggles. And, you know, like it's hard to not wake up with a smile and with energy and vigor and fight when that's what you're waking up to.
Absolutely.
Like, I second that. It's radiant. Like it's bright as it is for everybody else. Imagine how bright it was for us being with her.
Most incredible gift. You had a front row seat at mm-hmm. who she was. But it's also something interesting that you said at the very beginning. You said when, you know, the day that she was born and you found out that she had Down syndrome, that was a surprise to you. You said, at that moment, we decided to make the most of this, to make the best of it, is actually the words that you said, to make the best of it. And it sounds like that spirit then entered into her battle with cancer, but also your spirit as a couple, as you walk through this together. We've been doing a series now for the last couple of weeks on healing here and pain. And one of, there's really two things that have been standing out to me that's consistent with within both. One is a community around you. It's necessary. You can't do this alone. Be that people, be that a God who is intimate with you and who you can cry to and pray to. And the second is that when you choose to take a victim mentality here, the best doesn't come out. And in fact, it can oftentimes swallow you into a cycle of more pain. So can you walk us through why you decided to make the best of it? Why you didn't sit back and say, poor us, look at us, this is awful, this is terrible. Instead, you said, no, let's change that narrative.
Yeah, I think it was for many reasons, but one, for Indy, because we needed to show up for her every day. She needed us. She needed us to be positive and give her the most positive outlook on her own journey. You know, it was hard for her. She was amazing in this beacon of light, but we saw, I mean, there were hard moments and it was hard for her. You know, she struggled sometimes. And how much harder would it be for her if we couldn't show up for her in a positive light and show her that we're still okay?
I think it's contagious. I think that positivity and that love is contagious, and it was contagious. Sometimes Indy carried us with her light and positivity, and sometimes she leaned on us to carry her, right? And that's the same feeling that we get across social media. Sometimes their messages carried us, and sometimes our story carried them. So if we had to go through this, I mean, there's a lot of things we don't have control over, right? We don't have control over the cancer. We don't have control over so many different elements of our story, but what we can control is our reactions to it. Right. And if we're going to have to go through hell, we might as well make it the best that we can, you know?
You know, and thank you for sharing that, because you just, even in going up to this point in your story, when you shared so much wisdom and so many things that I wrote down here that stood out to me. You know, you mentioned that you stuck to prayer, faith, hope. You know, those are steadfast points in the message of Jesus. Prayer, but then faith, hope, and love are the things that will last us for eternity. Outside of anything else, faith, hope, and love will be with us forever. And so I want to, if we can just keep into the moment where you're at in Indy's story, what was your perspective on faith, hope, and love? Because you just talked about how a miracle happened. You took her home and the cancer's gone. Nobody understands it. It doesn't make any sense to anybody. That's a miracle, no matter what you believe. No, that's a miracle. Yes. And so within that miracle at that moment, where was your faith at? What were you still hoping in? And then what was your perspective of God at this point?
To me, it was like, I finally really know God and what is possible. I think so many of us have hope in healing and hope in miracles. But it's rare to really live it and to really see it so profoundly the way that we did with Indy. And it wasn't just a miracle for us. It was like a miracle for the world, you know, and it was special. And to me, it was so humbling, so powerful. And just this awakening of like, this is God. And
I think that to what she's saying, we've heard stories of things like this happening to people, or we read about them in scriptures or other places, and miraculous stories. When it comes to hope and to faith, to me, it wasn't just, I know that God can do these miracles. God can do anything, right? But will God do anything for me? You know, I know God can do anything that he decides that he wants to do, but does he love me enough? Have I demonstrated my love to him and to other people? Have I had enough hope? Have I had enough faith? Will he do it for me? I know that he can do it, but the question is, will he do it for me? And I learned like, yeah, he will. He definitely will.
And I want to add to that, because I don't want anybody listening this to feel like, well, what about my miracle? Why didn't I get a miracle? I love God. God loves me. I've learned that it has nothing to do with that, that it's, Indy was on board with the miracle. I think so. We have choice in our life and in what happens. And if Indy was finished with her mission and she didn't want to be here anymore, she had completed it, then she could have gone home. And I feel like so much of the choice was in her hands. But I think that Indy wanted to be a part of a miracle, and God said yes. And that time when she was on ECMO in the ICU and, you know, totally just sedated, and we just thought all the time, she's half here, like one foot on each side of the veil, you know, and we felt like she's making a decision right now. She's deciding, am I going to stay or am I going to go? And we could feel that from her spirit, you know, like half here, half there. And she was deciding. And I think that happened again when we took her home, because there were days in the early days of her coming home where we were like, she's going, you know, and at that time, there was one day specifically where I thought, is Indy hanging on because she's worried about her family, you know? And so laying next to her, I just sat there and talked to her, and I said, Indy, if you're ready to go, like, we'll be okay. And you can go. You've done such a good job, and you've completed your mission. If you want to go, it's okay. And we'll find a way to be okay without you. And we love you so much. And those were like the hardest words for me to utter to her. But I knew that I really needed to promise that to her, that we would be okay, because I wanted the decision to be hers. I didn't want her to stay for anyone else but for her. And whatever her and God decided, we would be okay with it. And then we were stunned by the miracle.
Right. We would have been okay either way.
Right.
Right. And that's what was important for me, was saying, we'll leave it up to Indy and up to God. And we have faith that whatever the end result ended up being, we were going to press forward and do our best. And the real faith is whether you get it or not, right? Whether you get what you want or not, the faith, your faith is your faith is your faith. It doesn't, your faith isn't contingent on end results. Your faith is part of the production, the input into the process, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
And looking at our story now, ultimately, we didn't get what we wanted or what we had been praying for years, but we still love God and we know that he's still there, and he showed up in different ways than before, just to make it known that we were not alone and that there were angelic forces supporting us in yet again the hardest moment of our life. And I feel like my relationship with God is better than ever now. And we're living here without Indy. So
if you don't mind telling the rest of the story, we paused with the news of the miracle. But that's not where Indy's story ended up. You know, there's been a few years since then. And do you mind sharing the rest of the story?
Yeah. So it was exactly 2 years ago, this time that we saw that great miracle. But fast forward, you know, we struggled with graft versus host disease the rest of 2020. And then early 2021, we had been bound here by cancer for a long time. And we just wanted a different experience for our family. And we decided we're going to go spend time in Puerto Rico. And we had this plan to spend like 6 months out of the year in Puerto Rico to give Andy a better chance of recovery from everything that she had been through, graft versus host disease, the time she spent on ECMO. So Andy's doing great. She has graft versus host disease, but she's being treated for it. And, but she's doing well. And we go to Puerto Rico. And we're in Puerto Rico. We're thinking like, this is the turn for us. This is the turning point for us. Things are going to be amazing. Well, we're in Puerto Rico for 10 days and Indy's eye starts to swell up. And I'm thinking like, maybe she has an infection behind her eye. We fly home. She gets an MRI. The doctors are worried that it's cancer. But to us, we're like, no way. Like, there's no way we would go through this incredible miracle just for cancer to return. No way. Well, it was cancer behind her left eye. And she had had some issues there before with this left eye. And so they thought maybe this is residual. They treated it with radiation and said, like, everything else looks good. Her labs look good. Her bone marrow is clean. Like, there's no cancer in her bone marrow, which her disease is a bone marrow disease. And so we were super hopeful. Her doctors were hopeful. They said, like, yeah, hopefully we can treat this eye and she's good. You know, this was residual. Well, that's not what happened. So we then went back to Puerto Rico just after Easter of last year, 2021. And we were there for 5 days this time when Indy became extremely sick. And I won't share all the details of that story, but we ended up in a Puerto Rican hospital for a few days and we flew her home. It was really horrifying time. She was so sick. And we get to the hospital here in Utah, Primary Children's, and they find out that she has cancer in the form of tumors, which is, it's not the way that leukemia usually presents, but she had a large tumor of leukemia cells, like right alongside her spine, and then in her abdomen, like kind of wrapping around her pancreas. And at that time, you know, her doctor, we had a really good talk with her, and her doctor just said, she loved Indy, but she said, in all the years of treating kids with cancer, she said, I just recognized that some kids don't need to be here that long to change the world. And she said, Indy's done that, and she's incredible. But they told us that she had 2 weeks. And at that time, it felt different. The first time they told us that she had 6 weeks to live, it was kind of like, well, we're not going to accept that unless that's what Indy chooses and that's what God chooses. And so we went to work and it was like, we are going to do everything in our power to help her heal. And we did that. And this second time, it just felt different. It felt like Indy's spirit was saying to us, like,
it's time.
I'm done. You know, I'm ready. I've completed what I came here to do. And I feel like if she would have went, you know, the year before, I think she had completed what she came here to do already, but she like graced us with an extra year and a half. For so many people, that was needed. You know, she helped so many people through that first year of COVID when it was so hard. But it just felt different and came home and we still supported her physically in every way we could to keep her comfortable and to help her feel good.
And she was still as light as ever.
Yeah.
She was still happy as ever. You know, as much as she must have suffered through all of the different conditions and stuff that she had to go through, she was happy and positive the whole time. So again, it went back to like, she would carry us with her light sometimes and we would carry her. You know, when she had to do difficult things. And they said it would take 2 weeks, or she had 2 weeks, but she ended up lasting a lot longer than that.
6 weeks, yeah. She gave us like six incredible, beautiful weeks when they said it would be two. And that's what I'm saying. In those 6 weeks, like, God showed up for us just in a different way. It was still miraculous. Like, I wrote down everything because I knew that someday I would need to look back and be reminded that God really is present in our lives. And I wrote down all the miraculous things that happened. But again, seeing the community come together and also seeing, like, just truly the presence of angels, like, tangible.
What do you mean by that?
I mean that, like, angels were here and it was a tangible thing that we could experience. This goes the same for when Indy, you know, when they gave us 6 weeks and Indy miraculously healed, we had tangible experiences of angelic help, and we saw them and experienced them, and miraculous things happened that were totally unexplainable to the human eye, that just left no question. This was a true miracle, and God and angels helped it happen. And the second time, when there were two weeks left, it would happen by walking in the room and finding something on the floor that you have not. Like, I walked in Indy's room one day and she had, you know, crossed fingers, things everywhere, but she had this crossed fingers ornament that had been hanging on her wall. And all of a sudden I walk in her room and it's on the floor right in the doorway. And there's a white feather next to it. And I'm like, how did this get on the floor? There's no explanation for it. Like, the hook is still on the wall. And just little signs, little messages like that, where if you weren't really paying attention, you would miss it, right? Anybody else could see this and think, oh, that fell off the wall. But to me, it was like, I'm dying inside. Like, we're about to lose our little girl. And these little messages, these little signs, they were comfort to me to know, like, this, there's more to this life than living and dying. This life is the small part in the big eternal perspective. And those were the reminders for me of, like, there are angels here and life continues in different ways, and we are being supported and we are known and we are reminded. And another part of that, this is another incredible story that Indy is known for. So we brought her home, and every day I started seeing the time at 11:11. And I wondered, I kept thinking, why do I keep seeing the time at 11:11? And I like numerology, and, you know, those are angel numbers. And I just thought, okay, we're being supported. Well, then Indy passes away. And she takes her last breath as I'm holding her at 11:11. And all of a sudden it just came full circle. Like, this was a way for her and God to let me know, like, you are seen and you are known, and you've been seeing 11:11 every day. And Indy's going to take her last breath at 11:11. And it's not only a special number in general, but now it's a really special number. And all the people who love Indy and have followed our story, now they think of her every time they see the clock at 11:11. And just these ways for them to remember Indy and to remember the miracle that was her life and her special light. So,
as your doctor said, some people don't need to be here that long to change the world. Yeah. Some people need to be here a lot longer. I mean, just what an incredible statement from somebody also who has walked through this with many families and many people. And that is such a godly perspective, is that some people are just that great of a gift to this world that they just don't need to be here that long to change it. Yeah. And from everything preparing to talk to you two today, she did change the world. She changed so many. You get to see it through social media, which I'm so happy that you have that.
Yeah.
But you also did it, you know. Again, why you're here today is because you changed some people's lives who are part of my life. And now you're doing that as you tell Indy's story. As we close up today, you emailed us a few weeks ago, I think, and you had a statement in there that I have written down here. You mentioned that you have hope in God providing the ultimate healing, that you as a family have hope that God will provide the ultimate healing. Now, I don't want to dismiss how hard it still is for you and how hard it was then and how hard this whole process has been for the two of you. But I do want to ask, when you look at your life right now and you speak to those who are out there who are going through some type of pain themselves, what do you mean as a family when you talk about the ultimate healing? What are you referencing?
I think there's the healing of many different aspects of our life. So for Indy, the ultimate healing for her was returning home. She didn't completely heal from cancer in this life like we all wanted, but she received her ultimate healing of her physical, you know, the physical was her aspect that needed to be healed. And she's received that healing. For us now, left here, as we're grieving Indy and trying to process, you know, a new way of living and a new way of life, we look to God and to Indy, who is, you know, now going to guide us through life to help provide healing to our hearts and our souls. Because we've been through a lot and it's been really hard. But we have hope that we can still heal and continue through life experiencing joy and having good opportunities with our children and future children, and hope that we're going to be with Indy again. And that will really be the ultimate healing for us, is when we're reunited with Indy. But we have hope and faith and belief that that's going to happen.
I think for me, difficulty and pain create growth that can't happen in any other way. And that growth creates development, and that development is what fosters healing. So when you talk about the ultimate healing, all of us are going to have to go through difficult things of one way or another. Sometimes it's family, sometimes it's financial, sometimes it's health, whatever it may be. But when it comes to growth and development, that's how we ultimately become who we want to become and heal and are kind of become well-rounded individuals and people and achieve what each of us individually is meant to achieve here. Indy was part of our process, right? But one thing she taught us, she was already healed in so many different ways. She wasn't healed in the physical way, but she was that person. She was that healed. She was it. She made it to that point in her individual process. And now it's our turn and everybody's turn to say, okay, what can I learn? What can I do with this difficulty I've gone through? How can it help me grow and develop and achieve what I want to be and who I want to become and heal myself as who I want to be, if that makes sense.
Makes a lot of sense. Pain creates growth. That's heavy.
But it's true. Mm-hmm. And there's no other way that you can create that type of growth. Like even people on Instagram, you can't feel what we've gone through. Mm-hmm. You can watch it and observe it, but you can't. It's not possible for you guys to grow the way that we've grown being inside and going through it. So through your own experiences, our own individualized, unique type of growth that we try to take advantage of.
We wouldn't be the people we are today and right now if we hadn't gone through this journey with Indy, with Down syndrome first, and then with cancer, and then grief, and learning how to live without her, and to communicate with heaven in a new different way, because Indy's over there.
Yeah, I want to thank you for sharing your story, and you know, I believe, as we mentioned a little bit ago, that yes, faith, hope, and love will last us forever. But I also think another thing that's everlasting is our story and our testimony. And I believe God is active through it. And I believe fully that God is active in yours, as you've seen tangibly. And others have watched from a distance. But I know it's not easy, and I know it's not ideal. But I do believe that there's other people that are going to listen to this who are going through something similar. It happens every week that we do this. Somebody else that's listening is in some sort of pain or has somebody that is ill around them, or there's just a lot of fear of the unknown and uncertainties of what is to come. And your story will will help them feel less alone, which I know is so important to the two of you, that people don't feel alone in this. And so as we close up today, I want to ask you just a few more questions. And the one is more of an action item. How do people who are listening best support families and children who are suffering with childhood cancer?
It's a tricky question.
Yeah. There's a lot of foundations that, you know, we've seen some of our local foundations and just people that we've met in the community who really work hard to bring comfort and love to the families who are going through this. So looking up some of the childhood cancer foundations, I think, is important. And we have started the Indy Lou Foundation, but it's still waiting to be approved. So it's not in the works quite yet, but we do hope to be able to help others in the future. But looking up some childhood cancer foundations and donating to them, because they give direct support to these families by, you know, delivering things to the hospital for them, supporting them through long hospital stays, financial support with, you know, gasoline and food and groceries.
But sometimes on a more personal level, a note at the right time, mm-hmm. a gift that's meaningful, a personalized gift. I mean, I think of some special things that people, drawings or things that people have made for us that really help. A well thought out and timed gift or a message can go a long, long way. And that's not to say that you need to overburden, because sometimes families going through cancer are so overwhelmed anyways, you don't mean to knock on the door, but in a very respectful, quiet way, you can send meaningful messages or gifts that really make an impression and can carry them.
Yeah.
You know, you all, and you said, hey, we don't have to talk about this, but I'm going to talk about it because I think it's great. But you, and you have helped create supportive affirmation cards for people. Yeah. If people are like that seems like something I'd be interested in, because I know that meant so much to you, as you just mentioned, Brian, when you were going through it, where can they find those?
IndyLouNU.com is where we have our affirmations listed for sale. And we're doing a buy one, gift one. So for everybody who buys a pack of affirmation cards, then I gift one to a cancer foundation or a family who could use the affirmation cards. And I think the reason they're important, I have two different stacks, one for parents, because when I, as a parent going through this, I could have used words of hope and wisdom every single day. And so this is why I wrote the affirmation cards. And I think the best reminder that comes from those cards is to trust in your child's journey. Because for Indy, ultimate healing wasn't her plan. And for me to trust in that and to trust in the journey that she came here with. And for other families, ultimate healing is the plan and it happens. And I think that's the biggest reminder, to walk your child's journey beside them, trusting that it's their journey and that they know what's best and that God knows what's best.
Those affirmation cards are also linked on our Instagram, right?
Oh yeah, they're linked on my Instagram.
What's your Instagram?
Tarabell. Yeah.
Those are fantastic. I wanted to mention them because I think they're very special, and I do think they will be very helpful.
Thank you.
Two final questions today for all of you. I guess the first one is more of a request. You know, I got to listen to, as I mentioned, and watch Indy's celebration of life, and listen then to somebody read her obituary and talk about just all the tremendous things that she's done in her time here. If you two could take for a second and just give a message to somebody out there that is hurting, through the lessons and the impact that Indy's had on your life, what would your message be to those people if they're just listening right now and they're in a place where they do feel alone? They feel pushed aside. They don't feel like there's hope. Just from talking to you today, I know Indy taught you both a lot. And it would be, I think, in everybody's benefit if you just shared a message to those people who are hurting the most right now.
Oh, I don't know. Stuff is hard, but it's doable. You know,
I'm trying to narrow it down to just a single message. There's so much that we have shared and want to continue to share to narrow down to one.
I think for me, it's to hold on to positivity and light and hope. And that's not always going to be possible, because some days you just can't do that. You feel so low or sad or heartbroken. But if you can find a way to feel that light and just a little bit of positivity. So for a lot of people now, they'll say, I'm going through this hard thing, but I think of Indy. If she can do it, then I can do it. You know, and just, we thought that a lot in our journey. Like if anybody can survive this, we can survive this, and we can do it, and we can bring light and hope and positivity into this situation that's really unimaginable. And
I think if I had to share something, I would say, if I had to tell somebody what I had learned, I would say, you are stronger than you think you are. I think people have to do hard things, and we're more resilient than we give ourselves credit for. And there are people that have gone through harder things than we have, and people that have gone through easier things. Lives are all different. But don't discount how strong you really truly are. If you just keep pressing forward and doing your best, you might surprise yourself with how strong you actually are.
You know, people would say to us, I don't know how you're doing this. You're the strongest people I know. And we're just doing it because we have to, and we're surviving. And then you look back and you realize what you've been through, and you recognize, I really am strong. I survived this. I survived the unthinkable.
And not only that, like you're going to get through it. You're going to get through it. And the choice that you have is how you're going to do it, right? So you can do it with hope. You can do it with positivity. Like you began, like some people just get crushed by the things they go through, but you don't have to be crushed. You don't have to be conquered, right? You can choose your choices, how you're going to wake up and how you're going to respond to the trials and the difficulties of the day, but you're going to make it through. You're strong and you can do it. And not only that, you get to choose how. Mm-hmm. You choose if you see the light and see the goodness in people and in things. So I would encourage them to see that instead of seeing anything else.
I want to share one thing really quick. After we were told that Indy had 2 weeks left to live, Brian came home and took a moment and wrote a bunch of words of affirmation on the bedroom mirror in our wall. And I came home to see those words after, you know, a long night at the hospital. And the very first thing I saw was, we are not victims. And he wrote that on the mirror. And we've just been delivered this devastating news that cancer is back for, I believe, the fourth time. And that our daughter has just a couple weeks left. And the first thing Brian writes is, we are not victims. And those words are still written on our mirror today, because we are not victims. You know, we're struggling to live every day without Indy physically here, but we know that we are not victims. And just that simple knowing takes you out of that mentality and helps you through life, helps you through the hard times, the hard, really heavy days.
I just appreciate you too. And the message and the fact that you don't view yourself as victims, that's incredible. And that doesn't just come from a place of, I believe that comes from God, that you see yourselves as people who still will have an impact, that your daughters have had an impact and will continue to have an impact, and that your family will continue to move forward. That's hard to even say for me, and for you guys to do it and believe it is something incredible, because I believe the world needs you two and needs Birdie, and has benefited greatly from Indy. We close every podcast asking the same question. You guys can answer it together. You can answer it separate, however you'd like to answer it. But Tara and Brian, do you believe that hope still wins? If so, why? And if not, why not?
Hope absolutely still wins. Because if we don't have hope, what do we have? If we don't have hope as we're going through a journey with cancer, if we don't have hope that everything will be okay in the end, then what do you have? And if you don't have hope that when your child passes away, that everything will still be okay in the end, then what do you have? And if we don't have hope, we're left here without our daughter, and we're left here with really nothing to cling to.
Hope is sometimes all you do have.
Yeah.
Thank you both. We appreciate it. And thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of Hope Still Wins. If you haven't already, please subscribe or follow the show wherever you listen to podcasts. If you enjoyed this conversation, and I guarantee you did, please consider leaving a 5-star review on Apple and Spotify, and join the community over on Instagram at Hope Still Wins. Also, make sure to follow Tara on Instagram for everything we talked about today. There's some incredible videos on there. Her Instagram is Tara Bell. It's TERAHBELLE. Well, also, if you follow them on Instagram, you'll be able to learn how you can get involved in the Indie Lou Foundation as soon as it gets going, and I know it will. Thank you again for listening to this episode of Hope Still Wins. I'm your host, Ben Higgins. This week, I beg you to think through this episode, to think through some people that are hurting in your life, in the life around you, to love on them well so that they feel less alone. Well, all right. Let's talk next week. I'll be back, and I hope you will too.